right, so I'm bringing to the microphone for the very first time in this studio. Drum rolls. Okay, no, I don't have drums. Okay, all right. So I have with me the U.S. Consul General Will Steven. Now, a lot of people don't know about how names work in some countries. When people hear Will, you know, they think about the Anglo-Saxon Will as William. But in America, a William could be a Bill. So which is it?
It's Will. My dad is Bill.
Aha! There you have it. So you see, a lot of confusion. Well, good morning and welcome to Hello Paul Tacos. My name is Judo Mamigbe. You just heard the voice of the U.S. Consul General Will Stevens. Thank you very much for coming through, Will.
That's my pleasure, Jude. Thanks for letting me come on.
This is the first time you've been in Port Harcourt, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, my first trip to Rivers.
Okay, your first trip to Rivers State. And I do believe you've been to Lagos and Abuja.
That's right. I live in Lagos, so I've been there for the last 3 months.
Really?
And I've been up to Abuja a couple times to visit the embassy. Yep.
Okay, so how did you find moving through Lagos and Abuja? Comparisons?
It was shocking when I got to Abuja because from the airport to the embassy, our car didn't stop. Yep.
It was just like a straight... Straight room.
And from Lagos airport to the house, it was a one constant go slow.
Yeah, just traffic. Which is worse? Traffic? Where in the U.S.? Where do you stay? New York?
From Washington, D.C.
Oh, no. Yeah. So Washington doesn't have as much traffic as New York. Mm-hmm. All right. So obviously, the traffic in Lagos was worse than in Washington.
It depends. D.C. traffic can get pretty bad during a snowstorm or during a rainstorm, yeah.
Yeah, that's when there's something wrong. But, you know, this is Lagos every day. So you can't compare, right?
It's a different kind of traffic.
All right, so it's a different kind of traffic. Anyway, so let's move on. Now, you've lived in Lagos, or you are living in Lagos, and this you've been here for about 3 months now,
yeah.
Okay? And you're coming down to the Niger Delta, to Rivers. I need to ask, okay, what have you experienced so far in terms of culture, Nigerian culture? What has been your experiences?
So I came to Nigeria and I begged to come to Lagos.
Okay.
This was the job I wanted of all jobs on the continent. I came here from South Africa. And I came because of the culture and the incredible connections between our two countries.
Mm.
The truth is, if you want to be involved in Africa, which I do, in Africa-U.S. relations, you need to be in Nigeria. And I believe Lagos and the South and all of Nigeria, really, it's the beating heart of Africa and African culture. So I've had the opportunity to meet incredible musicians. Davido came by and chatted with me.
Interesting.
I met former President Obasanjo. I met with your governor last night, Governor Wike.
Yeah.
But just to see the vibrancy of that connection at the cultural level, at the academic level, at the business level. I'm truly an Afro-optimist, and I think there are so many signs of connections. I'll give you a statistic that I like to cite.
Mm.
Last year, there was over $7.2 billion of foreign direct investment, private investment into the African continent. $4 billion of that came to Nigeria.
$4
billion? Of the 7.2.
That's more than two-thirds.
Yeah. It's a little bit less, but
okay, yeah. Just under two-thirds. Yeah, it's four, but
most of that was coming into the tech sector here, and almost all of that was from the United States, because what you're seeing is the tech connections and then the creative connections. It's just the synergy between the U.S. and Nigeria is incredible, and what you have is you have artists like Davido, who's actually an American citizen, and tech people who've studied in the U.S., worked for U.S. companies, coming back here, founding companies, bringing investment from the VCs in the U.S. It's absolutely incredible, and it's something I'm super excited to be a part of.
I have to agree with you, because if you look at fintech startups in Africa in the past decade, Nigeria has been in the forefront, having people coming through, get into the finance business, trying to raise, you know, awareness and using technology literally at the front and center of this, what many will call the financial revolution, you know, in these parts. Now, it's interesting to note that you've particularly taken interest, or at least the U.S. consulate here has taken particular interest in a very, what many would call a small company, EchoVault.
That's right.
So, interesting.
So one of the things we did in this trip is try to get a sense of the various aspects of our relationship, right? What are we doing here in Rivers? So we visited the seaport, where we looked at some of the health programs, which I want to talk about because it's by far the biggest investment that we have as a government. We visited the Nigerian Navy and visited two U.S. Coast Guard ships that were donated to Nigerian Navy.
Yes.
Really interesting. And Ecovolt, which is a company that's received grants from the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, and actually the head of the U.S. TDA, Trade and Development Agency, is a Nigerian-American.
Interesting.
She was just here last week. And they've gotten money, a grant from the U.S. government to do a feasibility study on how you can expand Wi-Fi in rural areas here in Rivers. It's a real problem.
Yes, Wi-Fi, yeah.
Something that they're trying to bring internet connectivity out to some places that are having a hard time. So they're doing feasibility studies. They're getting American companies coming in and helping them do the technical assessment. So something we're really proud of. We met with folks from Stakeholder Democracy Network, which is a team that's focused on good governance, election monitoring. And then, of course, we had a good long meeting last night with the governor to talk about partnership.
Okay. Oh, it's pretty good to hear. And for younger people like myself who, you know, literally would swear by Wi-Fi, you know, where there's no Wi-Fi, there's no life, some people would say, you know, it's good to know that there is technology. I know there's technology to increase the reach of some of the tech companies that we have and the service providers and all of that. But let's move away from tech and come to one of the strong points of Nigerian-U.S. bipartisan relationships or bilateral relationships. Like you made mention, you know, $7 billion worth of investment. There's a very healthy population of Nigerians who are resident in the U.S., in Texas, in New York, in Delaware. There's a good presence. Mm. But beyond just having Nigerians and Americans who work here and work there, what else do you think the governments need to improve upon? This is 2023 coming up. This 2023 is coming up.
Yeah, so one of the areas where we're really focused, and River State in particular should be incredibly proud of, is health. It's something that we do across the continent, but really it's fighting HIV/AIDS. And in 2019, if you look at River State, they had something like 23% of the people that were HIV/AIDS positive were on treatment. Today, 97% are on treatment. And that is 100% because of the collaboration between our Center for Disease Control's, USCDC, funding and supporting clinics here in the state and working together with your government to test people and get them on treatment. And that means we're saving over 100,000 lives. That's 100,000 people that are now on life-saving treatment and able to work, are not, and that HIV epidemic is controlled, which means that if you're on treatment, you can't pass it to your partner.
Yeah.
You don't even pass it to your children. If you have a child, if you're a mother who's HIV positive and you have a kid and you're on treatment,
that's the biggest problem, the child transmission.
But if you're on treatment, it doesn't pass through.
Yeah.
And if you're on treatment and you have unprotected sex, it doesn't pass through. So going from 28% to 97% is absolutely incredible. The UN has set a goal to get 95% of the people in the world on treatment. River State has exceeded that, and it's something that we're really proud of and is a true like beacon of success across the continent, around the world. Nigeria has been successful in that program.
Yeah, you really can, as it were, you know, lay your hands and say there seems to be a marked improvement. Yes, the campaigns have been there in the past. If I'm not mistaken, I think even the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations were very, very influential with other groups, you know, NGOs, you know, to first get tested. You know, the mantra used to be, you know, make sure you get tested, make sure your partner gets tested, you know, avoid, you know, risky behavior. So health is a pretty big thing. Now, it's been 2 years. The world has lived with the coronavirus. You know, people can sneeze or cough. These days, people go, okay, you're right. All right. Okay, now, vaccinations are a big issue even in the U.S., you know, with the, in quote, vax and non-vax. Now, the donations were made from the COVAX process from the EU and American donors. Now, it's not done. Is this going to continue? Do you think it's something that is going to continue?
We're going to continue to work together to get people vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, you may still get sick, but you're not going to get as sick.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like getting the flu vaccine before flu season now. And I expect, and I think most of the epidemiologists are pointing to, COVID vaccines will be something that we're regularly getting boosters for.
Yeah.
In order to protect ourselves.
Biden got a booster shot recently.
Yeah, he just got his fourth or fifth booster, or fourth shot, I think. And I got mine just a month ago. It's something that we encourage everybody to do, and we have set up, because of the partnership we had on HIV/AIDS, we are working in clinics all over the country directly with local departments of health. And so we were able to very quickly pivot to HIV or to COVID testing and screening. And then when we delivered vaccines, we were able to get the vaccines out there. When I was at the port, I actually visited the port health security folks, and they had a refrigerator that had been donated by the U.S. government with CDC funding for vaccines, so that they could do vaccinations right there as people get off ships or get onto ships to go out to sea. So it's everywhere. It's hard to see, so it's something I like to talk about, because I think that it's an important part of our relationship, that people-to-people, those things about saving lives and making sure that the incredibly smart Nigerians who want to work can work because they're healthy.
Yeah, now, one of the challenges, sad as it is the reality of life, comes down to numbers, ones and zeros. And those ones and zeros usually translate to big budgets or sometimes budget cuts and stuff like that. In the past, there have been mentions about the cutting budgets into, you know, aid foundations, USAID, for example, across the world. During the Trump administration, there's even the threat of, you know, reducing funding for UN and all of those things. Now, looking at the African continent and Nigeria in specific, what has been Congress's view over the past few years? Some years I get to read, okay, well, you know, we'll give a little more. Okay, we won't give so much this time around. What exactly affects that?
We are incredibly committed to our partnership with Nigeria. And this year we're anticipating spending over $1 billion on assistance in Nigeria. And that's everything from helping internally displaced people and refugees in the north to just released $1 million last week to help flood victims. Mm. And that was one of the things I was talking to the governor about, was how can we support the work they're already doing here in River State to help the victims of the flood, to almost $400 million on HIV/AIDS and PEPFAR and health programming. And that programming isn't just testing and treatment. It's helping emergency preparedness. I had a meeting yesterday with this incredible woman who runs a foundation. I don't know if you know the story of Ebola coming to Lagos.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the doctor.
Yes, the doctor who helped prevent from spreading.
Yeah, and sacrificed herself to do that, essentially. So there's a foundation in her honor that we support to do public health emergency management. Mm. So helping Nigerian institutions be prepared for the next health crisis. And it's already working, and it's something we're so proud of.
Okay, all right. Now, talking about something that's working, the wheels are spinning right now. The Nigerian general elections are on the way in 2023. I have just about 2 minutes before I go on a stop break so we can get jobs done. But where exactly is the U.S. stance here globally? A lot of Nigerians have cable TV these days or internet access to get to hear, oh, the U.S. said this, the U.S. said that. What exactly is the concern for the consulate and indeed for the government concerning the 2023 elections?
We're very focused on process, and we want to make sure that there are credible, free and fair elections and peaceful elections. So we have been working with INEC on putting in, through USAID, mechanisms to ensure that the elections are transparent and free so that Nigerians can reflect their will at the polls. And we want to see people vote.
Mm. Okay. All right. You want to see people vote. So we know that the electoral monitoring teams almost everywhere in the world, even our Nigerians have been involved in the monitoring teams in Kenya and Rwanda and even the Sierra Leone. I remember sending a batch through the ECOWAS. So are we going to see, you know, a similar outtake here, coming in 23?
Our hope is to work with our partners to have a robust monitoring series of activities, both in the lead up to the elections and on election day, throughout the country.
Okay, all right. So now we're talking, if you just join us this morning, I'm with Will Stevens. He is the U.S. Consul General. He's a new one. He's been in Nigeria for just about 3 months. Has experienced traffic in Lagos and experienced the free roads in Abuja. Now is in Port Harcourt. So we're talking a lot about, you know, U.S. bipartisan relationships. Now, one of the biggest things that always happens whenever you have, you know, two friends, if I can say so, maybe a two group interacting, is fluidity. The biggest concern for those who want to travel to the U.S. these days, maybe for education, is the ease in which funds can move. There are worries. You know, people talk about, you know, money laundering and blah, 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 and all of that. How easy now is the system. I've tried to get through. I've been to the embassy before. A lot of people complain, oh, the US process is so Herculean, it's so difficult. Do you get those complaints and how do you address them?
So I think you're talking about two separate issues. One is visas.
Yeah, not just, yeah.
And then the second is funding and restrictions on foreign exchange.
Yeah.
The first is something I can talk to. The foreign exchange is really about the Nigerian government putting limitations on foreign exchange. But when it comes to visas, we do have a backlog. It's a bit of a COVID hangover, right? As we reduced operations, demand continued. People continued to want to travel, which I think is a sign of our robust and powerful relationship that people want to travel to the United States and do business, bring exports in from the U.S., vice versa. So we're working on the backlog. We had a corresponding, I like to say, a perfect storm, right? We had a big demand. We weren't able to work, and we lost staff because people went home, and we're finally fully staffed. One of the things we're working on is trying to extend the validity of visas so that people's visas last a little longer.
Okay.
And we're hopeful that that will come through, and then we'll have, the demand will be lessened, right? Because if your visa is valid for a little longer, then you don't need to come and renew it every couple of years.
Yeah, sure.
So we're working on it. This summer, we were prioritizing student visas. We have more than 6,000 student visas that we processed. And actually, Nigeria is the largest sending country to the United States from the African continent. So more Nigerians.
For student visas.
For students studying in the United States at U.S. universities. It's almost 13,000 Nigerians studying at U.S. universities, which to me is absolutely incredible for Nigeria because they come back with a U.S. education, but more than that, they have connections to U.S. research institutions, U.S. funding opportunities, U.S. businesses, because many of them do on the job training after their education. So they work for a year, and then they come back having worked at a top-notch American company, and they bring that expertise and that trading potential to your universities, to your institutions. It's an absolutely incredible thing and something we're really focused on.
Okay, all right. So it's all about improving the connection and the relations between both countries. Now, it's three months so far. Let me ask you, from your standpoint, your vantage, where do you see a serious need for improvement from both parties as regarding, you know, relations? You know, we've talked about health issues, we've talked about, you know, even the elections, but what about key areas are, you know, of priority?
Yeah, I think there's two things that I'd like to talk about. One, I think there's untapped potential in the trade and investment arena. I think that this market is a massive market, right? And if you're a U.S. company, you should be thinking, how can you get into this market? Because this is the future of the continent, and it's the future of the world. By 2050, one out of every four Africans will be
Nigerian,
right? It'll be the third largest country in the world. So if you're trying to position yourself for the future as a U.S. company, you need to be thinking about this market. And so that's something I'm really focused on, is helping American companies come here, trade, and invest, thinking about how they can produce here. The other area where I think there's a lot of potential, and what we just came from was the University of Port Harcourt, is expanding those people-to-people exchanges. Because I think there's this incredible desire to work together. And how can we foster that civil society? How can we help Nigerian civil society connect with American civil society? How can we convene people? How can we support small entrepreneurship initiatives? How can we support women in business to get the resources they need and connect to that global economy and help them understand the resources that are there waiting to support them in the United States.
Okay, waiting to support them. All right, so we have just about a minute plus to wrap up this conversation. I'd like to thank my guest, Will Stevens, for joining us this morning. But I need to put you on the spot right now before we go. Will, so where do you pitch your tent? American football or NBA?
I have to say I was up late last night watching Champions League.
Okay, you're watching the Champions League. So you're a soccer or football fan?
Yeah, I played in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what team do you favor?
Oh, I favor the U.S. men's national team.
Obviously. No, you have to have loyalties there. But no, for club football.
I've been watching Chelsea.
Chelsea?
Yeah.
How do you feel, though?
Well, they've been doing really well. They haven't lost since the new manager came on.
Yeah, but you know, but how do you really feel? Do you feel good that, you know, you support a team,
it's American owned?
But now, but you know, before, you know, you guys haven't been doing much.
Their number 10 is an American player.
And, well, Pulisic, he's gonna leave at some point in time. Okay, so you support Chelsea. Now that's for English Premier League. But what about in the US, the Major League Soccer? Is there a particular team that you are?
DC United has been the team I used to root for. I haven't really followed them much lately, but I'm a big NBA fan. And I'm Washingtonian, so I support the Wizards, but they really haven't had much to support lately.
Yeah, nothing.
And ever really since I've been around. But I do like I like to root for excellence. So okay. Watching Golden State, watching Steph Curry, who looks like he could be my accountant.
And yeah,
he's just incredible.
Absolutely.
So when he's on, I'm watching because it's just incredible to watch a guy like that be so successful.
All right, turns out that the U.S. Consul General is a Chelsea fan. I'm sure Chelsea fans all over jumping in glee. Thank you very much, Will, for coming through. It's been a pleasure having to have conversations with you.
My pleasure.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, they should get you bole and fish.
All right. Got it.
Yeah, but I do this for nice people only. Well, my name is Jude. Hello, Pazaka returns.